Chapter 2 Ivan Ilyich's life had been most simple and most ordinary and therefore most terrible. He had been a member of the Court of Justice, and died at the age of 45. His father had been an official, who after serving in various ministries and departments in Petersburg had made the sort of career which brings men to positions, from which by reason of their long service they cannot be dismissed, though they are obviously unfit to hold any responsible position, and for whom therefore posts are specially created, which though fictitious carry salaries of from 6 to 10,000 rubles that are not fictitious, and in receipt of which they live unto a great age. Such was the privy councillor and superfluous member of various superfluous institutions, Ilya Epimovich Golovin. He had 3 sons, of whom Ivan Ilyich was the second. The eldest son was following in his father's footsteps only in another department, and was already approaching that stage in the service at which a similar sinecure would be reached. The third son was a failure. He had ruined his prospects in a number of positions and was not serving in the railway department. His father and brothers, and still more their wives, not merely disliked meeting him, but avoided remembering his existence, unless compelled to do so. His sister had married Baron Graf, a Petersburg official of her father's type. Ivan Ilyich was la phoenix de la famille, as people said. He was neither as cold and formal as his elder brother nor as wild as the younger, but was a happy mean between them, an intelligent, polished, lively and agreeable man. He had studied with his younger brother at the School of Law, but the latter had failed to complete the course, and was expelled when he was in the 5th class. Ivan Ilyich finished the course well. Even when he was at the School of Law he was just, what he remained for the rest of his life, a capable, cheerful, good-natured, and sociable man, though strict in the fulfillment of what he considered to be his duty, and he considered his duty to be what was so considered by those in authority. Neither as a boy, nor as a man was he a toady, but from early youth was by nature attracted to people of high station, as a fly is drawn to the light, assimilating their ways and views of life and establishing friendly relations with them. All the enthusiasms of childhood and youth passed without leaving much trace on him. He succumbed to sensuality, to vanity, and latterly among the highest classes to liberalism, but always within limits, which his instinct unfailingly indicated to him as correct. At school he had done things, which had formerly seemed to him very horrid, and made him feel disgusted with himself when he did them, but when later on he saw that such actions were done by people of good position, and that they did not regard them as wrong, he was able not exactly to regard them as right, but to forget about them entirely or not be at all troubled at remembering them. Having graduated from the School of Law and qualified for the 10th rank of the civil service, and having received money from his father for his equipment, Ivan Ilyich ordered himself clothes at Sharmer's, the fashionable tailor, hung a medallion inscribed Respis Finum on his watch chain, took leave of his professor and the prince who was patron of the school, had a farewell dinner with his comrades at Donin's first-class restaurant, and with his new and fashionable portmanteau, linen, clothes, shaving and other toilet appliances, and a traveling rug, all purchased at the best shops, he set off for one of the provinces, where, through his father's influence, he had been attached to the governor, as an official for special service. In the province Ivan Ilyich soon arranged as easy and agreeable a position for himself, as he had had at the School of Law. He performed his official task, made his career, and at the same time amused himself pleasantly and decorously. Occasionally he paid official visits to country districts, where he behaved with dignity both to his superiors and inferiors, and performed the duties entrusted to him, which related chiefly to the sectarians, with an exactness and incorruptible honesty, of which he could not but feel proud. In official matters, despite his youth and taste for frivolous gaiety, he was exceedingly reserved, punctilious, and even severe, but in society he was often amusing and witty, and always good-natured, correct in his manner, and bon enfant, as the governor and his wife, with whom he was like one of the family, used to say of him. In the province he had an affair with a lady who made advances to the elegant young lawyer, and there was also a milliner, and there were carousals with aides-de-camp who visited the district, and after supper visits to a certain outlying street of doubtful reputation, and there was too some obsequiousness to his chief and even to his chief's wife, but all this was done with such a tone of good breeding, that no hard names could be applied to it. It all came under the heading of the French saying, Il faut que je ne sais passer. It was all done with clean hands, in clean linen, with French phrases, and above all among people of the best society and consequently with the approval of people of rank. So Ivan Ilyich served for 5 years, and then came a change in his official life. The new and reformed judicial institutions were introduced, and new men were needed. Ivan Ilyich became such a new man. He was offered the post of examining magistrate, and he accepted it though the post was in another province, and obliged him to give up the connections he had formed, and to make new ones. His friends met to give him a send-off. They had a group photograph taken and presented him with a silver cigarette case, and he set off to his new post. As examining magistrate, Ivan Ilyich was just as comme il faut and decorous a man, inspiring general respect and capable of separating his official duties from his private life, as he had been when acting as an official on special service. His duties now as examining magistrate were far more interesting and attractive than before. In his former position it had been pleasant to wear an undress uniform made by Charmer, and to pass through the crowd of petitioners and officials, who were timorously awaiting an audience with the governor, and who envied him as with free, an easy gait he went straight into his chief's private room, to have a cup of tea and a cigarette with him. But not many people had then been directly dependent on him, only police officials and the sectarians, when he went on special missions, and he liked to treat them politely, almost as comrades, as if he were letting them feel that he, who had the power to crush them, was treating them in this simple, friendly way. There were then but few such people. But now, as an examining magistrate, Ivan Ilyich felt that everyone without exception, even the most important and self-satisfied, was in his power, and that he need only write a few words on a sheet of paper with a certain heading, and this or that important, self-satisfied person would be brought before him in the role of an accused person or a witness, and if he did not choose to allow him to sit down, would have to stand before him and answer his questions. Ivan Ilyich never abused his power, he tried on the contrary to soften its expression, but the consciousness of it and the possibility of softening its effect, supplied the chief interest and attraction of his office. And his work itself, especially in his examinations, he very soon acquired a method of eliminating all considerations irrelevant to the legal aspect of the case, and reducing even the most complicated case to a form, in which it would be presented on paper only in its externals, completely excluding his personal opinion of the matter, while above all observing every prescribed formality. The work was new and Ivan Ilyich was one of the first men to apply the new code of 1864. On taking up the post of examining magistrate in a new town, he made new acquaintances and connections, placed himself on a new footing and assumed a somewhat different tone. He took up an attitude of rather dignified aloofness towards the provincial authorities, but picked out the best circle of legal gentlemen and wealthy gentry living in the town, and assumed a tone of slight dissatisfaction with the government, of moderate liberalism, and of enlightened citizenship. At the same time, without at all altering the elegance of his toilet, he ceased shaving his chin and allowed his beard to grow as it pleased. Ivan Ilyich settled down very pleasantly in this new town. The society there, which inclined towards opposition to the governor, was friendly, his salary was larger, and he began to play vint a form of bridge, which he found added not a little to the pleasure of life, for he had a capacity for cards, played good-humoredly, and calculated rapidly and astutely, so that he usually won. After living there for 2 years he met his future wife, Praskovya Fedorovna Mykhail, who was the most attractive, clever, and brilliant girl of the set in which he moved, and among other amusements and relaxations from his labors as examining magistrate, Ivan Ilyich established light and playful relations with her. While he had been an official on special service he had been accustomed to dance, but now as an examining magistrate it was exceptional for him to do so. If he danced now, he did it as if to show that though he served under the reformed order of things, and had reached the fifth official rank, yet when it came to dancing he could do it better than most people. So at the end of an evening he sometimes danced with Praskovya Fedorovna, and it was chiefly during these dances that he captivated her. She fell in love with him. Ivan Ilyich had at first no definite intention of marrying, But when the girl fell in love with him, he said to himself, "Really, why shouldn't I marry?" Praskovya Fedorovna came of a good family, was not bad-looking, and had some little property. Ivan Ilyich might have aspired to a more brilliant match, but even this was good. He had his salary, and she, he hoped, would have an equal income. She was well-connected, and was a sweet, pretty, and thoroughly correct young woman. To say that Ivan Ilyich married because he fell in love with Praskovya Fedorovna, and found that she sympathized with his views of life would be as incorrect as to say that he married because his social circle approved of the match. He was swayed by both these considerations. The marriage gave him personal satisfaction, and at the same time it was considered the right thing by the most highly placed of his associates. So Ivan Ilyich got married. The preparations for marriage and the beginning of married life, with its conjugal caresses, the new furniture, new crockery, and new linen, were very pleasant until his wife became pregnant, so that Ivan Ilyich had begun to think that marriage would not impair the easy, agreeable, gay and always decorous character of his life, approved of by society and regarded by himself as natural, but would even improve it. But from the first months of his wife's pregnancy, something new, unpleasant, depressing, and unseemly, and from which there was no way of escape, unexpectedly showed itself. His wife, without any reason, began to disturb the pleasure and propriety of their life. She began to be jealous without any cause, expected him to devote his whole attention to her, found fault with everything, and made coarse and ill-mannered scenes. At first Ivan Ilyich hoped to escape from the unpleasantness of this state of affairs by the same easy and decorous relation to life that had served him heretofore. He tried to ignore his wife's disagreeable moods, continued to live in his usual easy and pleasant way, invited friends to his house for a game of cards, and also tried going out to his club, or spending his evenings with friends. But one day his wife began upbraiding him so vigorously, using such coarse words, and continued to abuse him every time he did not fulfill her demands, so resolutely and with such evident determination not to give way till he submitted, that is, till he stayed at home, and was bored just as she was, that he became alarmed. He now realized that matrimony, at any rate with Praskovya Fedorovna, was not always conducive to the pleasures and amenities of life, but on the contrary often infringed both comfort and propriety, and that he must therefore entrench himself against such infringement. And Ivan Ilyich began to seek for means of doing so. His official duties were the one thing that imposed upon Praskovya Fedorovna, and by means of his official work and the duties attached to it he began struggling with his wife, to secure his own independence. With the birth of their child, the attempts to feed it and the various failures in doing so, and with the real and imaginary illnesses of mother and child, in which Ivan Ilyich's sympathy was demanded but about which he understood nothing, the need of securing for himself an existence outside his family life became still more imperative. As his wife grew more irritable and exacting, and Ivan Ilyich transferred the center of gravity of his life more and more to his official work, so did he grow to like his work better, and became more ambitious than before. Very soon, within a year of his wedding, Ivan Ilyich had realized that marriage, though it may add some comforts to life, is in fact a very intricate and difficult affair, towards which in order to perform one's duty, that is, to lead a decorous life approved of by society, one must adopt a definite attitude just as towards one's official duties. And Ivan Ilyich evolved such an attitude towards married life. He only required of it those conveniences, dinner at home, housewife, and bed, which it could give him, and above all the propriety of external forms required by public opinion. For the rest he looked for light-hearted pleasure and propriety, and was very thankful when he found them, but if he met with antagonism and querulousness he at once retired into a separate fenced-off world of official duties, where he found satisfaction. Ivan Ilyich was esteemed a good official, and after 3 years was made assistant public prosecutor. His new duties, their importance, the possibility of indicting and imprisoning anyone he chose, the publicity his speeches received, and the success he had in all these things, made his work still more attractive. More children came. His wife became more and more querulous and ill-tempered, but the attitude Ivan Ilyich had adopted towards his home life rendered him almost impervious to her grumbling. After 7 years service in the town, he was transferred to another province as public prosecutor. They moved, but were short of money, and his wife did not like the place they moved to. Though the salary was higher, the cost of living was greater, besides which two of their children died, and family life became still more unpleasant for him. Praskovya Fedorovna blamed her husband for every inconvenience they encountered in their new home. Most of the conversations between husband and wife, especially as to the children's education, led to topics which recalled former disputes, and these disputes were apt to flare up again at any moment. There remained only those rare periods of amorousness, which still came to them at times but did not last long. These were islets, at which they anchored for a while and then again set out upon that ocean of veiled hostility, which showed itself in their aloofness from one another. This aloofness might have grieved Ivan Ilyich had he considered that it ought not to exist, but he now regarded the position as normal, and even made it the goal at which he aimed in family life. His aim was to free himself more and more from those unpleasantness, and to give them a semblance of harmlessness and propriety. He attained this by spending less and less time with his family, and when obliged to be at home he tried to safeguard his position by the presence of outsiders. The chief thing, however, was that he had his official duties. The whole interest of his life now centered in the official world, and that interest absorbed him. The consciousness of his power, being able to ruin anybody he wished to ruin, the importance, even the external dignity of his entry into court, or meetings with his subordinates, his success with superiors and inferiors, and above all his masterly handling of cases, of which he was conscious, all this gave him pleasure and filled his life, together with chats with his colleagues, dinners, and bridge. So that on the whole Ivan Ilyich's life continued to flow as he considered it should do, pleasantly and properly. So things continued for another 7 years. His eldest daughter was already 16, another child had died, and only one son was left, a schoolboy and a subject of dissension. Ivan Ilyich wanted to put him in the school of law, but to spite him Praskovya Fedorovna entered him at the high school. The daughter had been educated at home and had turned out well, the boy did not learn badly either.